It's a steamy, overcast morning and the air is thick with heat. I'm at the northernmost inhabited point of Australia, on the low-lying Boigu Island in the Torres Strait, only a short boat ride to Papua New Guinea. It's a beautiful, sandy, mud and coral island threaded by freshwater river systems, surrounded by blue ocean and filled with thick mangroves, dugongs, turtles and saltwater crocs. The crocs are coming inland more often these days, hungry and looking for dogs. A fleet of small charter planes has just arrived at the island carrying more than 20 lawyers, court staff and Justice Michael Wigney of the Federal Court of Australia. Kids have run down from the local primary school next to the single runway airstrip to welcome the visitors, waving and clapping with excitement. The outsiders are here to be participants of history in the making. Gudamalagul, traditional owners, Uncle Pabai Pabai and Uncle Paul Kabai, and their communities on Boigu and Saibai Islands have launched a world-first climate change class action. They are suing the Australian government for climate negligence in the Torres Strait, the first First Nations people in the world to sue their government in this way. An hour after the planes arrive, Uncle Pabai is called as the first witness in the case. We're in the Boigu Community Hall, which has been painstakingly transformed by Uncle Pabai's extended family and community into a tropical facsimile of the federal court. Palm fronds have been macheted off trees, and some have their long green leaves wrapped carefully around the hall's big metal beams, while others have been woven into the hanging vases decorated with bright red jungle geranium and white frangipani and bunches of green bananas. A row of potted palms is set against huge seats of satin that hang from the ceiling behind the judge in white, green and blue, the official colours of the Torres Strait, referred to locally as Zenith Kess. The seating for Uncle Pabai was carefully prepared the day before by his sister, Auntie Diane Messer, and wife, Auntie Wymed Pabai, the plastic chairs wrapped in white satin and double stacked to avoid any embarrassment if one was to break. He sits at the front of the court with Judge Wigney to his right. The judge has eschewed the typical billowing black robes of a regular court, preferring a casual short-sleeved navy shirt, khakis and sandals. Uncle Pabai faces two rows of long tables of lawyers. His legal team, led by Fiona McLeod SC, is to his left, and the Australian government's lawyers are to his right. Behind them sit Boigu community members and elders who have come to watch this historic moment. The court has come to their land to hear from their community. The government must sit and listen. Uncle Pabai is a warm, softly spoken man, dressed unlike the judge in a dark suit set off with a vibrant green shirt and yellow tie. These are his clan colours and reminiscent of his totem, the crocodile. Uncle Paul, his co-lead plaintiff and brother-in-law from Saibai, watches carefully from the audience. He's relieved he doesn't have to go first. "The ancestors are very important for us," Uncle Pabai explains to the court. "Their knowledge, their understanding, passed on from generation to generation. They are giving us who we are today, to identify ourselves. They are the most important people for us. If my community goes underwater, I will lose my identity from my land, and I will lose every experience the ancestors have given to us, because they will no longer be with us. This is why I'm saying my people will never be removed from our land," he pauses, "because of our ancestors." The reality of climate change is confronting here on Boigu. Massive ancient beech almond trees and staggeringly large coconut palms have been uprooted as the shoreline has moved inland, their drying roots pulled deep from the ground, left to die in the hot tropical sun. Huge seagrass fields, dinner for local sea creatures, are disappearing beneath the water. The once abundant and fat dugongs and turtles, totems and key sources of food for local people, are also dwindling and getting skinnier. Once fertile agricultural land has turned to swamp. Parts of the island have absorbed so much salt during huge king tide flooding that the taro, sweet potato, cassava and watermelon, which have been sources of culture, sustenance and trade for generations, can no longer be grown there. When witness Uncle Bogo Billy from Warrabir is asked later in the trial how he knows the water is getting warmer, he simply says, "I put my hand in." The increasing warmth of the sea here is undeniable. The Gudamalagul Nation includes Boigu, Saibai and Dwan. On a previous trip I'd taken to Zenedith Kess, Saiba Galman, Herbert Warasan, a ranger and key witness in the case, had stood with me on the northern shore of Saibai during one of the island's long, exquisite sunsets. Do you want to know what Guatemalagul means? He asked. He pointed at the strait between the island and Papua New Guinea and made a C with his fingers. That's Guda, he said. It means mouth or opening. This is where the spirits travel through so they can protect the mainland. I couldn't help but shiver thinking how the people here were taking action that could end up protecting all Australians from the horror of climate change. According to Torres Strait tradition, people are born with a totem animal, a constellation and a wind. The winds are changing too. On my way to Boigu, I found myself standing on the jetty of Narapai, Horn Island, with a young local ranger. We were facing east towards lush, green YBN, Thursday Island, towering above the sea and watching a storm rolling in. Wind's coming from the north, the ranger explained. It's not meant to come this time of year. Now the winds are blowing from the north too often and at the wrong time. Auntie Jen Anosa, a witness on Saibai, will later take the court to the northern beaches there to show the judge where she and her aunties collected shells and crabs at low tide when she was a little girl. She will explain how beautiful it was before the seawall had to be built, how the winds used to arrive from Papua New Guinea on Christmas Eve, filling the air with fragrant smell of flowers, marking when the dancing would begin. But the winds are changing there too. They don't come at Christmas anymore.